This podcast is brought to you by the Social Podcast Network, a collaboration of podcasts for the local Lewis and Rehoboth Beach area, featuring amazing podcasts like Full Send with TNT, I'm Sorry About Last Night, Anonymous, The Gifted, Be Soulfish, and many, many more. So to check out all our podcasts, go to www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. That's www.socialpodcastnetwork.com.
This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
All right, people, here we are. This is the day. In 1 hour, you are going to take an exam administered by the state to test your basic skills and the quality of education at Eastside High. And I want to tell you what the people out there are saying about you and what they think about your chances. They say you are inferior. You are just a bunch of niggers and spicks and poor white trash. Education is wasted on you. You cannot learn. You're lost. I mean, all of you. I want all the white students to stand up. All my white students, stand up right now. Stand up. Come on. All my white students, stand up. Stand up. That's it. Come on. Stand up. These are my white children. And they're the same as all of you. They've got no place to go. If they had, they would have abandoned us a long time ago, like everybody else did. But they couldn't. So here they are at Eastside High. Just like the rest of us. You can sit down. Are you getting my point, people?
Yes.
Is it beginning to sink in?
Yes.
We sink, we swim, we rise, we fall, we meet our fate together. Yes. Now, it took the help of a good, good friend. Make me know and understand that. And I do understand it, and I'm grateful. I'm eternally grateful. And now I've got a message for those people out there who've abandoned you and written you off. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. You are not inferior. Your grades may be, your school may have been, but you can turn that around and make liars out of those bastards in exactly 1 hour, and you take that test and pass it and win. So here's what I want you to do. When you find your minds wandering, I want you to knuckle back down and concentrate. Concentrate. Remember what's at stake. And show them what Eastside High is all about. A spirit that will not die.
Ink spills as black souls leak into black holes, cracked souls speak, tormenting minds. Gravitating towards negative energy is something that's been occurring since the great sounds of Gullah Geechee to the current sounds that we call excellent speech. You see, whispers were as of words filled with fire, causing my soul to become inflamed and my attire to be as of bleach, because whispers are now starting to sound to me like screeches, and screams are now starting to sound to me like soft speech. You see, hills and mountains before me used to make me feel so incredible, impeccable, inferior. I float, but now hills and mountains before me make me feel like I have no face, like I have no faith, like I have no place. So I write as my ink spills because my pen truly does leak. Black writing onto white walls is something that's been vividly projected from my mind into your face like black smoke in these black days, because a reoccurring cycle is the ink that spills as black souls leak. Into black holes, crack souls, speak, tormenting, tormenting, tormented minds.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. You are with The Film Effect with Tiff, and you're with another episode with a really awesome movie. I'm just doing awesome movies lately, like, I think, if you've been listening to my episodes. We've had some great stuff, and we definitely keep jumping all over, but this time we're going to go back another, like, 20 years in movie world from this current time, and if you listened intently to that opening, you might have guessed that we're talking about the movie Lean on Me. And I have some great guests with me today, and this was their pick, so you guys can introduce yourself. Dantes?
My name is Dantes Collins. I'm a math teacher. I used to work at Sussex Tech High School. I made the transition into Cape and Lopen High School now. I'll be teaching Algebra 1 and Geometry. I'm really involved with the community, just like being out there and helping out and being of service and giving people smiles and joy.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And of course?
Rob West.
Rob West is back. So, Rob, thank you for coming on. Both of you guys, thank you. Thanks for bringing Dantes on. And this was actually kind of your idea. Do you want to talk about why? Or just
let's
share?
Let's let Dantes talk about it.
Yeah,
why.
Okay. Well, Dantes, share. Share.
Rob and myself, I like taking pictures in suits. I like to dress up. I like to look good. I think that when you dress up and you look good, it gives you this confidence, this motivation. Look good, feel good, you know what I mean? And then when you feel good, you actually go out and you put more effort into doing good. And so one thing I put on Facebook one day, you know, I would like to take pictures. You know, 5 to 10 guys, mm-hmm. Wants to dress up in suits, wants to look good, take pictures and just put them out there. And the response I got back was just awesome. I got in contact with my cousin Rob here, and we actually turned it into a pop-up suit event. Had about 40 guys show up, and at that event, we just shared experiences and shared joy and just shared strength and motivation for one another. We called it LIFT,
Okay.
Which stands for Liberate, Inspire, and Foster Togetherness.
Awesome. So I will add some information if you guys are listening to the description on the podcast so that you can look into this, but we're going to talk a little bit about this today and also this movie that was your pick, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about why you picked Lean on Me.
I personally enjoyed, wanted to pick this movie because I felt like it's another one of those timeless movies. You know, it
yeah.
applies to every, you know, facet of what's happening now currently. Mm-hmm. Within the States and with everyday life. And, you know, definitely what we do is Making a Difference Coalition and LIFT, just in terms of empowering our youth, our young adults, but finding a place to start at so that transition is easier, which is a lot of times from our adults, and being able to put them in positions so they can excel in a idea movie. This is to talk about and to enjoy. And I watched it again and I got goosebumps and chills, and I was just so full of emotion before, during, and after, because what I perceived it as before is definitely not what I got when I watched it last night and the night before and listened to a couple of clips on my way over here. It's just, you know.
No, it's incredible.
Incredible.
I saw it way back, and I remember it really well, because this is, like, from my time period. I'm old. And and I was excited. And actually, the coolest thing, I think, being my age is, you know, I have young children between the ages of, like, not young. I mean, some of them aren't young. Between, like, 18 to 12, okay? And I was, like, doing my homework for this episode yesterday just to rewatch this movie. And Charlotte's 12, and she sat down and watched it with me. And she's like, oh, is that old movie from the 80s? It's going to be cheesy. And I was like, no, this movie's going to be amazing. You're going to cry. in like 15 minutes. And she's like, no, I'm not. And I look over at her. She's crying. I'm like, this movie, like, I love when movies have an impact on any generation. And it just shows you how good of a movie it is. Or even just good. It's such a great story that no one can, you can't not be affected by it, right? So this is the film effect. And I love to pick movies, specifically movies like this, that are really affecting and people are really affected by. And I almost wish I was older then to see what impact this movie had on that generation or that time, because it does feel very relevant right now. And I guess it is kind of a timeless in terms of the themes that happen in the story, because there's always these themes in life for every generation. Obviously there's different things around the racial issues that are in this film because it's the 80s. But also just the idea, like you said, of children that have been kind of left to the wayside. Nobody cares, whatever the circumstance, whether it's the, you know, their social economic status or whatever it is, it's a story of just that too. And I mean, I could go on and on just to start, but there's so much in this movie, and I'm so, I was so moved by how, like, I don't know, how willing Joe Clark was to just throw down the hammer in such a way that I think today, if anybody did that, I don't know if they would have lasted 5 minutes, because it's pretty controversial, even for now, the way that he addressed what was happening. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah.
So I'll let you speak because I'm talking a lot. But go ahead, Dantes.
I think that one thing that we are missing now is people that want to do but will do. And that's what I saw from Joe Clark in that movie. You know, he even from the beginning of the movie when he was upset about, you know, not being invited to that union meeting.
Right.
You can tell that he had a passion to make change. And even though he was put into a predicament that he didn't want to be in, he knew that if he was going to do it, he was going to do it the right way and with all of his power that he could. And oftentimes we have guys with a lot of ideas, people who have all these suggestions, all these great ideas, all this great momentum. But when it comes down to really putting it out there and doing it, you know, they shy away because they don't want, you know, they don't want to offend people. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And Joe Clark was, you know, I'm not worried about hurting anybody's feelings. I'm worried about making sure that this school is turned around. I'm worried about making sure that each and one, every student that walks through this hallway gets the education that they deserved and that love that they deserve. And if you come in the way of that, I'm going to move you out the way.
Yeah.
And so that is what I like from his passion, from his movement, from his attitude, is that, you know, I have a mission and I'm going to get that mission done. And if you're in my way, I'm going to move you out of the way in a respectful manner, in a respectful manner.
Yeah. So right away, what I'm going to do, because I always do this just to give everyone, if you're not sure what we're talking about, this is the basic stats on this movie. Lean on Me is a movie made in 1989. It is directed by John G. Avildsen. I'm sorry if I'm murdering your name. Writer Michael Schiffer, stars Morgan Freeman, Beverly Todd, Robert Gillingham, I can't say some of these names. I feel like you're a teacher, right? Yeah. Do you encounter this daily?
Oh, yes, I do.
Like, how do you even, I asked,
I have them sitting across the room, and I'm like, can you just say that for me, please?
Like, I have no idea what I'm saying.
Then I get it wrong like 5 more times.
Yeah, and I actually, my name now is Tiffany Caldwell, but my maiden name is Tiffany Paperno, and I used to get my name every time teachers would be like, pepperoni, and I'm like, just Tiffany, just don't. It's okay. Like, please, you don't have to try to say that. That's too complicated, I guess. But there's a lot of great people in this movie. For people like me, even if I didn't know the names of some of these actors, I knew them instantly because they were on tons of TV shows of the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know that lady, I know that lady, and I know that guy. So it was actually kind of interesting to rewatch this movie and be like, wow, I haven't seen these people in a really long time. So real quick, just to give people the basic description of what this film is about. It's actually based on a true story. Joe Clark was a principal of Eastside High, and he did go in and transform the school and was able to raise the state testing results of the entire school, and it was pretty amazing. So it's, you know, they describe it as the dedicated but tyrannical Joe Clark is appointed the principal of the decaying inner city school, and he is determined to improve by any and all means. So that's a basic, you know, setup of the story. And, you know, this story takes place in the 80s. They're, you know, walking into the beginning of it. We'll just kind of use the, I'll walk us through it a little bit so we can discuss some of it and also talk about, like, what you do because you are a teacher and how I'd love to have you here because you can really relate to some of this stuff, right? And Rob, you know, obviously you can relate to all, we're all, you know, we're all involved. So we get this depiction of this school that is just over the top almost, right? Did you find that to be like an 80s cliche of sorts of like, I don't know, you get what I'm saying? Like, there's graffiti everywhere, there's kids are smoking and fighting, and one of the most crazy scenes actually right away, which Charlotte, who's 12, was really surprised by, was the girls go in the bathroom and they like rip her entire shirt off and like throw her into the hallway. And I was like, that's crazy. Now, did they just like take this over the edge, or do you think that was close enough to a realistic portrayal, if you were to guess, of, I don't know, what's your thought on that? Like a school being that out of control, or is that just movie making?
I don't know that it would actually physically be allowed to get to that point.
Okay.
But in terms of if they captured like the top 20 worst moments in school history ever and they put it all in a 30-second clip, that was it.
Yeah. And obviously it is a movie, even though we're telling a true story, and they want to set it up in a way that shows us how drastic this scenario is going to be when Joe Clark comes into the situation, right? Mm-hmm. I guess in terms of that, I'll ask you, Dantes, like, even though that's a little over the top, do you have any experience with a school or being in an environment of a school or anything even, like, where it's definitely been discarded or needs attention in a way?
I haven't personally been to a school where it's the conditions have been that way, but I've talked to some guys. A particular name that comes up to mind is Sharif El Mekki from Philadelphia. He used to be a principal, and now he's running something called Freedom Schools, where he just goes in around and he just turns around schools and he's investing in the youth and making sure that there's a continuous relationship between, you know, from being in elementary school to being in middle school to being in high school, and that relationship is continued so the people in high school come back and get back to the people in elementary school. But he's told me about some schools that he's had to turn around. Turn around in the sense of behavior, because it seemed like, you know, there was no type of discipline going on, no structure, no organization. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, turn around because of academics. Like, there was not enough people who cared that worked in the building to take out the time to invest, to, like, as they mentioned in the movie, to stay after school and spend extra times tutoring the students who needed some extra help. And so I haven't had, I would say it's a privilege, because I wouldn't have had the privilege to work with in an environment like that, because it makes you reflect on, you know, why are you really in this profession?
Yeah.
You know, are you really in this profession to get down and dirty and help the students that really need your help? Or are you in the profession just to teach the students that already got it together, quote unquote?
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's a really fine line between, you know, putting yourself out there to really do that work and to really be involved, and I think that movie shows that. And I would like to be in a school like that to see how am I built. You know what I mean?
Do you want to be challenged?
I want to be challenged.
You want to be run through the, you know, the tests.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
But I haven't experienced that. And, you know, I think it takes a special person, a very, very special individual, to endure some things that we saw in that movie.
Absolutely.
Well, I also think, too, that's why we were able to physically witness within the movie a lot of the mistakes that were happening, because there was a lot of trial and error.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, we have to try something because these things aren't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a lot of mistakes from the adults as well as from the kids. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt had a great quote that said, you know, a man who doesn't make mistakes is a man who doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were making a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. because they were trying to do something, you know, and I think that was the big, you know, moment for me where I, you know, felt like, that, yeah, I would like to be battle tested in that regard. But, you know, it tells you a lot about yourself, as yeah. you know, and how much, how you're really built, like Dante
yeah.
says.
Yeah. What are you made of?
Yeah. yeah. What are you made of? Absolutely.
What's there? Yeah. So, and this is the thing. Joe is made of a lot, mm-hmm. right? He is like, he's just a really, it seems in the way they portray him that he's very decisive and he does not sway. And he knows exactly what he is going to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was struck me the most. And there were a few things, I'll just share my personal stuff really quick that was, I thought was really emotional for me. And I don't know why. The tactics that he used in certain ways were really unique. And I thought they were really amazing. Like the school song, okay? Mm-hmm. This focus on the school song was like one of his first attempts to bring a sense of community to the school. And at first he does it in a very kind of like almost punishing way, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, you guys are going to go learn the school song. And the next time I stop you, you better know it word for word, right? And I kept thinking like, well, that's an interesting way to kind of try to get these kids started in some sense of something, right? What did you think of that in terms of him making such a big deal about that?
So I think that me and Dantes had a conversation about how easy it is to create programs, you know what I mean? But what one of the hardest things to do is to take a curriculum that's corny and make it cool.
Right.
You know, and that's true. Basically what he did, because in that moment he implemented structure, and maybe that was his way of testing to see how he could stretch these kids or how far he could push them. Yeah. Because if they couldn't comprehend, you know, consuming the, you know, the lyrics to the song and being able to spew it out on site, then maybe he would have to change his approach a little bit differently the next time he seen them.
Yeah.
And they were doing wrong. So that's my perception on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with Rob. And to extend on that, you know, I think, I don't know if he meant to do this, but I'm going to say he meant to do it because, like he said, he knows exactly what he was doing. But, you know, that school song is something that you could take and make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he was expecting that, but, you know, to implement structure, but within the structure to allow a place for ownership, mm-hmm. Self-accountability, and for you to see pride in that and value in that because you made something up. I think that's what I saw out of that song. Like when they caught them in the bathroom and they started singing and he was like, what in the world is going on?
My
I thought
favorite
it was a beautiful
scene.
Moment
yes.
because they took that song, something that, you know, why you want them to learn this song? And then when they sung it in that bathroom, like it was theirs, like they, and you could tell as they were looking down, like they were proud of it. They were a little bit scared, but they were proud of it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And that opportunity for you to have something and make it your own and feel proud of it because you know that someone wants you to learn that and have that ability to make it your own and then spit it out there and use your voice and put it out there like that. It's an amazing feeling. And I think that's what he intended to do. It's hard to do that with curriculum. It's hard to do that with math. It's hard to do that with social studies.
Yeah.
Hard to do that with science. But something that's as simple as it could start anywhere.
Yeah.
And he started it with the school soul.
Yeah. So do you find, just using this as an example, like you just said, is that something that teachers do or should do more of? Or how do you feel about that in terms of educating or bringing kids into, I guess, because I'm not a teacher. I've taught a little bit, but I, you know, it's been like film and art and what have you, which feels very, I feel like I'm 12. So when I walk into a room full of teenagers, I'm almost like on the same level as them. I'm like, we're going to make this thing. Let's do it. And it's very different when you're teaching something like art, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think one thing I really, once again, being blown away by the story and also the way he goes about bringing these kids from being very against each other or very kind of like, I don't know, desperate, just unruly, you know, maybe that comes from a sense of not being seen or heard or not being considered, discarded, whatever word you want to throw in there, and suddenly making them a part of it. Mm-hmm. We're saying, like, you don't think you care about this yet, but I'm going to make you care about this in a way that you're not even, it's almost like a magic trick. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know that they didn't know that they were being duped almost into suddenly caring enough to like write a song or change the song, right? Just by the fact that they were forced to do it. Mm-hmm. So It's almost like a really strict parent, right? It's like a parent that just doesn't care, and then suddenly a parent who's like so involved. Now, I don't know. I mean, what's your take on that? That's a lot. I just said a lot. Sorry, I ramble. But you guys must have thoughts after what I just said. Yeah.
I mean, it pretty much brings me to what I was going to ask you next, which in terms of like who as a teacher in your life or person was your Joe Clark? You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is a bad question for me because I went to Catholic school for almost 8 years, mm-hmm. and I didn't have a Joe Clark, but I had... I guess it's hard because I was literally taught by nuns who scared the shit out of me, mm-hmm. okay? And religion, which was very, I don't know. I had a very strict upbringing in that sense. So it didn't feel inspiring, I guess I could say. It was like I lived in the fear of them and like God. I was like, don't do bad things. You know, that was like my whole upbringing with school. And then when I moved out of Catholic school and moved and I went to public school, I was more influenced by teachers who kind of saw you as people and not just, you get what I'm saying. Like there's teachers that are just doing their job and they just see you as another class and another number. And then there were teachers that would really invest in knowing you a little bit and like really trying to like pay attention. And like, there's been a few teachers I've had that I think did really influence me because of that. And also because I was able to really connect to the passion that they had for what they were teaching somehow. And maybe that was something I don't know exactly what they did, but I know that it was present and I picked it up. Mm-hmm. And I think if I were to guess, it was probably because they were asking for us to have original thought and say like, what do you think about that? Mm-hmm. You know, I took a philosophy class in college, this really radical guy. And he would like walk around the desks and he would ask a question and then he would just like stop at your desk and be like, what do you think? You know, like he would just come right at you. So you couldn't fall asleep and you couldn't just be like, oh, when is this over? You had to be really present and you had to be ready to engage at any moment. And he wanted to know what you thought. And I was kind of like, I don't know what the fuck I think. Like, what is this guy asking me? But I have to tell you, it woke me up. Like, I went to that class kind of anxious, but also, like, really taking it in every time I went there. Because he was theatrical, a little bit like Joe Clark. Like, he was theatrical, and he was going to make sure that every eye was on him. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. So, but I learned a lot in that class, and I learned a lot about my voice in that class. Mm-hmm. Because I had to speak up for myself a lot. I didn't really feel comfortable doing that, but I think it taught me a lot. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I think my Joe Clark would be, I had two Joe Clarks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And they ended up getting married, Jenny Fercucci and DJ Fercucci, Doug
Is that
Fercucci.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what I mean? Basically, it's just the skill of being able to break up the docility to build a rapport, and if that's going off the beating path, which is the curriculum, to really identify, you know, where individuals are, so that we can become more relatable first. And then once we build that trust and that energy and that camaraderie, hey, Rob, try this. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I told you this before, Tiffany, like, you know, me being introduced to a book in general probably came from a teacher first,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't respect. And then it was just like, I'm not reading, you know. But had I had role models younger that I seen reading, I would have read. So to say that, you know, those teachers that impacted me, like Jenny and DJ, like, you know, they're very good at what they do. And that's beyond teaching. That's just actually, I want a high percentage of success rate in my class, and I have to change me in order to fix why I can't have a high percentage of success rate in my class. And what does that look like? And being able to reenact that in real time and actually build a rapport with me, like, you know what I mean? Like, sent me to the office. DJ sent me to the office and was like, the next day was like, all right, bro, I'm coming over fishing. You know, it's just like weird, like kind of like, you
wow,
know.
Wow, that's crazy.
Joe Clark got arguing with the guy. He said, you think you're a bad man when he walked out. He said, I am a bad man. Then let's go out to lunch, mm-hmm. you know.
That was another awesome scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that right there was, for me, was just like, you know, like that's when I started really thinking like, who was my Joe Clark and how did they really impact me? And how did that look? And it allowed me to really understand that, you know, it takes a lot of focus, a lot of energy, and a lot of patience to really, and a lot of trial and error, mm-hmm. to really try to identify with kids. And you know, that's why I asked you that.
No, it's a great question. Mm-hmm. What about Dante's? Let's hear from you.
So, you know, Joe Clark's typically become Joe Clark's for every student. So my Joe Clark was Jenny Ficucci as well.
Look at that.
I had her in creative writing.
Shout out, Jenny!
Shout out to Jenny.
Getting props in here.
Yeah, so I had her for creative writing. And like what Rob said, you know, the first day of class, I hate being still. I hate, like, sitting in class for 90 minutes of the day. You know, I want to get up and do something. Like, if I got to sit still, it's not going to be a good class for me. And so first day of class, she was like, so I want to know what you guys can do. Like, what are you good at? And I wrote down, I can dance, you know. And she was like, well, get up and dance. I was like, what?
That's awesome.
That's so her.
So what now? She's like, yeah, show me you can dance. Get up and dance. You know, okay, all right. So I got up and I busted my move. And, you know, and just that moment, that 2 minutes, I realized that, you know, she didn't give me a paper and tell me, you know, take this to your parents and sign. She didn't read me the grading policy, the homework policy. She didn't give me a list of rules when I first worked in the classroom. The first thing she asked me was, what do you like to do? And show me.
Wow.
And so that's connection before content. You know, that's putting that child first and creating that relationship before you try to teach them something. There's a saying that says, I don't know who said this quote, but, you know, no student cares about what you know until they know that you care.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
And
so, yeah.
And that's deep. Like, I can't, I'm not going to go through walls. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to reach my full potential until I know that you care about me. Because when I know that you care, then I'm able to take risks. Then I'm comfortable enough to make mistakes and to be wrong sometimes and not feel embarrassed, you know, and that's important in growing. So
totally.
A teacher that can do that, that Jenny Ficucci, that Joe Clark, you know, that's when the magic happens.
It's awesome. So this obviously influenced you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you find, I'll just try to use the movie, too, since we're talking about it. Another really insane scene to me is, of course, there's the scene where he expels everyone on the stage, which is just almost hilarious. But there's a scene, which we can talk about, but he takes these very huge actions, very controversial in the very beginning, that are just everybody's like, what in the hell is happening with this situation? And so that's one of them. He gets rid of all the, you know, the kids that are doing crime in the school, drugs, dealing, whatever you want to put under the umbrella of that, and says, you guys are out. You're not going to pass anyway. See ya. And then, of course, all the parents are like, what did you just do? That's not okay. But what I'm coming to is there's the scene where he is now addressing all of the, you know, administration of the school, the teachers, and he is just delegating. He is like, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're no longer this, you're no longer that. How did you translate that for you in terms of what it's really like being in a school, being a teacher? How would that really fly? Like, was that something that shocked you?
It is. While I understand his reasoning, because it needed to change.
Yeah.
And whatever they were doing wasn't working. And so he was implementing change as soon as he stepped in. Now, would that fly? No.
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. You're going to tell me you're going to demote me from coaching football? And
right?
I've been coaching football my entire life, and these kids love me, and you're going to come here, and you don't even know me, and you're going to say, no, you're no longer the football coach? Oh, no. We're going to talk about this right now. You know what I mean? And so stuff like that is not going to fly. But what I like about what happened, he had that stern, strict decision-making skill. But as he went through the movie, he had people that were so in tune with what he was doing, and they understood what he was doing, and they eventually came to him and told him about himself.
Yeah.
And he checked himself in the midst of his decision-making. He checked himself in the midst of his implementation. And I think that every good leader knows how to make that decision, knows how to be structured like that, knows how to make demands, but they also know how to sit back and say, okay, maybe I've done a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being a little bit too hard. And I think that's what makes a good leader at any place, in a school,
right,
in a business. That's what makes a good leader, someone who, you know, makes those demands, but at the same time can sit back and take that constructive criticism when necessary. I think there's an appropriate time for each different type of leader. And if you can, you know, maximize that appropriate time, when you need to be stern like that, when you need to be the authoritarian, or when you need to be the democracy leader, when you're listening to everybody.
Yeah. True. Got to take the criticism.
Yeah.
Got to take it. Man, there's so much about this movie. So much, like, just everything, right?
Yeah.
Anything, like, impacting you specifically that you wanted to talk about?
Personally, yes.
Let's hear it. Let's do it.
Joe's capability to identify without saying the multiple situations, the multiple issues, not only with the staff, but with the kids regarding, what is it, blunt force trauma?
Yeah, trauma. Yeah. Trauma sensitive.
Trauma sensitive. Can you explain what that means? To anybody who's like, what is that? Yeah.
So in education right now, there's something called equity. And equity is like a better way to get to equality. It is the way to get to equality. So equity means that instead of, you know, say you and Rob come to me and you tell me that you're thirsty and Rob tells me that he's hungry. Equality be like, okay, you know, I got food. I'm just going to give both of you guys a sandwich. Even though you're thirsty Rob is hungry. Equity is, okay, I'm going to give you your drink and I'm going to give Rob his sandwich. So a lot of people think that when it comes to equality or teaching that you just give every student the same thing and they'll be okay. But every student comes from a different place. They have different home lives. They have different statuses. They have different beliefs, different cultural traditions. So you have to take the time to find out where they're coming from and to find out how their culture affects their way of life and their lifestyle. And then once you do that, you can teach them in a way that they can be successful. So that's what equity is. And so one element of equity is understanding how trauma or adverse events affect the brain of every single person. Mm. So I'm a firm believer that everybody has had something that's traumatic that's happened to them. It could be just a death of someone, you know. It's traumatic because it's an event you didn't expect and it caused you some type of stress. Now, the problem with it is if you don't have that support system behind you to help you work through that stress, then that adverse event becomes traumatic. And it becomes traumatic in a way that it causes your brain to be affected by it, mm-hmm. whether that be memory or whether that be development of your cerebellum, which is your executive functioning skills. But if you're not handling those traumatic events in the right way, then your brain is literally affected by it. And I think that's what Rob was talking about, is that, you know, these students had all these traumatic events going on, but they didn't have that support. And he came into that building and he provided that support. So I'm gonna let Rob continue.
Yeah, and to beat off of that, for Mr. Clark to really identify, let's just call it the blockage, and see that as the Great Wall at the moment, and trying to, in so many different ways through trial and error, break those walls down and strip those kids down to where that they can respect him and they can understand him and he can be approachable. I mean, he said it multiple times, I'm here at 6. You know what I mean? But one of his approaches that was really like eye-opening for me, and I can let Dantes beat
sure.
on this,
let's go.
Is how important it is that every kid that Joe Clark sees in the hallway, he knows them by their name.
Yeah, yeah. It's a special feeling when you as a teacher or you as a person can identify every single child, it shows them that they're important. It shows them that they're there. It shows them that they're present. And it shows them that they belong in a place where they may not have thought they belonged. And once you feel like you belong in a place, mm-hmm. then you feel like you can succeed and you can take risk and you can be yourself in a place. And he did that well. I remember that one time he was walking in the hallway, he gave that child a high five. Boom, high five.
Yeah, high five.
He gave him a high five. And then he actually gave the guy that he told to leave a high five. You know, he was like, what's going on? And, you know, that validity of your presence is important. You know, you might not think it's important, but somebody walk by you and say, you know, hey, how you doing, Tiffany? Good to see you.
No, it's my favorite. It's why I go to Panera every day.
Exactly. Because we as humans, we like to be validated, even as adults. So think how much more as a child do you like to be seen, to be validated?
Oh, it's so important.
It's so important.
Super important.
It's so important. And I adding to that, I think, you know, we talked a little bit before you came in. Me and Rob were talking about that scene with Sam. Sam's.
Jump, Sam.
When he takes him on the roof.
Crap, don't you?
Yeah.
And what I love about it is, you know, he's always no bullshit. I mean, just straight up. I mean, he's mm-hmm. Joe Clark. He's like, he's going to say the thing that nobody else is going to say. He's going to take you to that point where you're almost like, what? What are you saying? Like, and he really challenges this kid, mostly because I think we're very aware that out of all the kids that got expelled, this kid showed up at the school. Mm-hmm. And he's like, please, you know, so he's making an effort and he's like trying, you know. But then he's very strict with him. Not strict, but he's very stern. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
That's right.
And then he is making this kid so accountable. He's like, if I see you in the freaking hallway, like if I'm going to be on you. And it's almost like a parent being strict, but it is caring. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to pay so much attention to you. You're going to hate it.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I was like, that is it, right? It's like, that's what he's able to do with this one kid. And of course, I think the challenge is, how can you do that to 50 kids, right? You can't be accountable. You can't make that many kids accountable. Mm-hmm. It's just an example in the movie, but the point of it is profound,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
If every kid had that much attention put on them, even in that way, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because he followed up with Sam like every other scene he was following up. And as an adult who's a parent as well, you know what I mean? I can tell you now that that's one of the hardest things while entertaining what's happening in life throughout mm-hmm. your life is being able to follow up consistently and not ride them, but just, you know, just be present instead of always bringing presents. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just being able to just be around and say, hey, listen, you're doing good. Because he broke them down, mm-hmm. but he built them up excellently.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and he was breaking them down a lot, almost jokingly. He's like, look at your outfit. He's like, your shirt. Yeah. You know, he's like, dissing what he looks like. Comment to, actually, this is appropriate, you talking about this move, this thing you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. Dressing up, mm-hmm. Great point.
Sam had a button up on for the rest of the movie.
Right, the transition, the right? Yeah. So it's definitely an example of like that. Just the outfit change, yeah. Right? It says a lot about like how you're representing yourself. Can I ask a little more about that idea?
Yeah.
So you guys have decided this is the way, right? Like we're gonna, you know, dress up to the nines. And you mentioned a little bit about it, but like where did that come from for you in terms of using that to represent this idea?
So one thing I realized growing up, I love to go to shop, right? I like to go places and go in the stores and look at nice clothes. And unfortunately, with the way that things were in society, and some of it may still be the same, people used to look at me differently when I would walk into like a Gucci store or a Louis Vuitton store and I'm a black person and
right.
I got
okay.
jeans on and, you know, they question me. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the way society is. Some people haven't gotten out of the old ways yet. And it's not everybody, but some people haven't. And so I used to get followed around in stores and questioned about why I'm here. One day I decided to dress up. I decided to put on a suit. Go shopping. And the way that I got treated was like, wow. It was like, people are not questioning me anymore. You know, people are not following me in the store anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they think that I have something that I might not even have. And I liked that feeling. It gave me a confidence. It gave me a motivation. I always want to be treated like this. So let me present myself like this so that I get that treatment. Now, should I have to do that? Maybe not. No, I shouldn't have to. But I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. so I kept doing it. And that transpired, something that kind of started out negative. When I started teaching, my students would always say, you always look so nice. I love the way you dress. I wish you could help me dress that way. Can you show me how to tie this tie? Do my pants look good? What do you think about my outfit today? And so, like, because I presented myself in a way that I cared about myself every day, that I looked the part every day, my students saw that energy, that positivity, and they wanted to tap into it. And it was like, wow, you know, this energy is spreading it. And I'm not even saying anything. I'm just dressing up and walking around. and my students are picking up on that. And so from that came the movement Lift, to where, you know, we're going to dress up in suits. We're going to create this narrative, you know, that whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Latinx, we don't care about your color. I mean, your color is important because it tells us that you live a different lifestyle. We're going to celebrate that lifestyle. But for now, today, we're going to come together as men in suits, and we're going to show people that, you know, we're here about business. We are looking good. We're feeling good. And we're going to grow together. We're going to be strong together. We're going to be vulnerable together. We're going to share our truths together. And sometimes we might even struggle together. But the point is, we're doing it together.
Nice. It's awesome. I love it. And I love what you about this is you're using something that was something you found out about yourself, a personal thing, and you use that to empower other people. I think that's also why maybe your students noticed it. When it's true for you, when something you do is very true for you that empowers you, you present differently. And other people feed off of that. So in the same weird way, like, I've noticed that my kind of strange way of always shifting my appearance and whatever flow I'm in terms of my artistic, whatever mood I'm in, comes out sometimes in my clothing, that I know that has had a positive impact on my girls who are never stereotyped. It's like, if they want to dress one way one day, and then they've got that from me, mm-hmm. a little bit, which is like, well, my mom does that, and so I'm going to do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. You know, if I feel funky today, I'm going to dress funky. If I want to dress like a tomboy today, I will. If I want to dress really girly tomorrow, I will. I think all of that, and that's because I feel empowered when I get to choose that. And it shows when I do that, you know? So I just noticed that when you were saying that. So can I, because this is, I feel like we could talk for like 3 hours about this movie. I haven't even gotten into the movie that much. But I do want to give you the format to talk a little about Lift. Mm-hmm. So what would be the goal of this movement? If you had a goal?
So if we had a goal. I'll let Dantes read the mission statement shortly. But the immediate goal, mm-hmm. if I were to say that there's an immediate goal, it would be just to get people to support. You know, that's like the first and foremost, because identifying what I always talk about, which is almost like my everyday language, the idea that hurt people. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to a seminar because I've been to seminars and I know what they're like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is not the normal seminar. You know, it's different. The old ways don't work. We're doing something new. A lot of people have asked us, you know, you know, you guys have a woman speaker at a men's event. Education doesn't come in the form of gender or sex.
Say that again.
So
word.
So we're just doing something innovative. Mm-hmm. We're doing something new. We understand that in moving UP up forward, that we're going to continuously have trial and error moments. But until somebody does something, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to reach out, impact, and while we have a captive audience. You know, we're going to try to put you in front of as many professionals as possible to give you as much information about being an entrepreneur, being a parent, being a father, being a role model, being a professional. You know, what is being a professional like? A lot of people have businesses and have no idea why they're not getting business. Mm-hmm. Is it because their social media life doesn't separate their professional life? There's a plethora of things, and the team that we have is phenomenal. Like I can't, you know, I always hats off to Dantes, hats off to, you know, AJ Jones and Derek Savage and the crew who in the think tank, Jennifer Cucci, mm-hmm. you know, the guys and the gals who are actually, you know, not just suggestively just giving us information because they feel like they can do it better, but because they want to see something different. They want to see something exciting. You know, I don't care if my name's never on it. Dantes is the same way. He doesn't care if his name is on it. You know, making a difference, Lift. You know, we advocate for the same things, for our youth and young adults to pursue post-grad education. And how can we get our youth and our young adults to continue to do that effortlessly if we're, as adults, aren't in position to be approachable?
Mm-hmm. True. You know? True, yeah.
So there has to be a change. There has to be a shift in the way that we think and the way that we see things so that we can be more approachable. Because just like Mr. Clark,
yeah,
you know, like he was stern in some things and he was wrong in a lot of things.
Yeah.
But in his wrong, he found a right way to fix things.
Yep.
You know, in that, you know, we're understanding that there's going to be challenges and there's going to be different things. And for those who don't know, September the 13th,
I was just going to ask you that, yeah.
On Sunday between 2 and 5, we're going to be at the Children's Beach House in Lewis, Delaware at 1800 Bay Avenue with Meg Gardner, who's helping assist with the event coordinating.
Amazing
there.
Meg.
Amazing,
yeah. Meg
Gardner. Like, yes. You know, hats off and thanks to Meg, because everything that I've learned has come from her, because I'm a sponge and I really appreciate her. And she will be there and she's going to be able to, you know, talk about the Children's Beach House and mm-hmm. what they do. And, you nice. Know, they need volunteers. You know what they told me? We need men. We don't have men that volunteer. We don't have men that help. So mm-hmm. if men aren't helping and men aren't volunteering, how can we suggest that our youth do the same?
Right. Right.
True.
So I'm going to pass it to Dantes right, because Dantes. He's great.
So I'm just going to read the mission statement.
Yes, please do.
So LIFT will liberate, inspire, and foster togetherness through the power of networking to create community partnerships, present professional and educational growth opportunities, and put forth programming to strengthen the resources and possibilities for all of its members. Now, the promise is LIFT will equip its members with knowledge and tools necessary to empower their communities and advocate for the change necessary to achieve the collective liberation and success of humanity.
Wow.
And so, like Rob said, like we have these unwritten expectations of our youth. Like, when our youth do something, the first thing we do is we judge them. You know, we condemn them. But yet, there's no one older than them. There's no older men, or there's not a lot of them that they can approach and get corrected on in a constructive way.
Right.
And so we created this group to first start with men, to teach them how to be professional, to teach them how to be educational, to teach them how to be approachable, to teach them how to talk to someone who's going through, to teach them about trauma-sensitive training and equity, and to teach them how to be professional and how to separate that personal life from that business life so that they are approachable, so that someone can, you know, say, hey, you know, I can talk to this person because I know they're going to give me something worth talking about. You know, give me something to invest in. And once we create that environment, once we develop those individuals, then our plan is to, you know, send them back into the community and say, look, this is what we're doing. So now let's go make it work. And then to create that community environment where now these children know how to act correctly. They
yeah,
know how to
yeah.
they know how to have interviews. They know how to, you know, be on a podcast and talk confidently. You know what I mean?
Bring them on. Yeah. I mean, and this is like you're literally giving them a voice, you yeah. know. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
No.
You're fine.
But I think what I'm really hearing, because I'm listening to you guys, and I, you know, I hear so much on social media. There's so many people out there right now that are either, you know, moved by all these things that are going on and they feel like they need to read a book, or, and all I got from this movie was how it needs to happen right in the community. Like, the biggest message I got, and I'm a big believer in this because I'm older, I've been through a lot of things. And I know that support is the key, especially with trauma mm-hmm. or with people, children, adults, whoever, that have kind of been, had a tough go in one way or another, and just isolate, you know. So the second there's community, there's some sense of support, it could be one person, it changes everything. It changes everything, and then it's also a trickle-down effect, because the second I got support about something I needed, I became support to someone else. Mm-hmm. And there's even that scene in the movie where he realizes that they're not getting enough tutoring, they're not getting enough help, and now it's like the other kids are helping. Everyone is on board now. Now everybody is helping everybody, and it's almost weirdly done the way it happens, because it doesn't happen so intentionally. It mm-hmm. just kind of starts to happen, that they all start working together. But I love that idea that you're saying, and I really think this is great, because I think if people are looking to do things, do it right in your community. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to go so far and so wide. Start where you're at, right? Isn't that part of the message? It's mm-hmm. like, dig into these local events. Like, if you guys, hopefully you're listening, share this with other people. Show up at these events and be open to the experience, and who knows what will come from it. You know, you can be an advocate. You can be a voice. You can be support. There's so much.
Absolutely.
There's so much that you can do without having to do something so large, yeah. you know. It's true. And I think this is a great thing you guys are doing. Yeah. So.
And let me tell you the cool thing about the event.
Yeah,
is that
tell me.
After we give information, after we educate, first of all, without saying, we're not always going to do events with just all men.
Yeah.
We're going to start integrating kids. Oh, we're going to yeah. start integrating nice. Moms. Mm-hmm. We're going to start integrating women, parents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to, we just had to find somewhere to start at. And with the way it came upon us with Dantes with dressing up in the suits, that's just where we started. Mm-hmm. So, like, all men, all women, you know what I mean? This particular event that's coming up on the 13th is all men. Mm-hmm. We will have women speakers that are going to captivate the crowd with a lot of great information. But the cool thing about this event, and I can't go without saying this, is that after all the information is shared and, you know, we establish some new friendships, hopefully, and some new partnerships and some new information about people that probably live 5 to 10 minutes away from us. Yeah. We're doing an awesome photo shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right up my alley.
And I believe Tiffany Caldwell's going to be in the building.
I'm going to be there.
Yes.
So you better look fancy.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's going to be awesome. And then, you know, this is the one thing, like, you know, just basically being able to be in a mix and mingle environment, mm-hmm. be able to get educated, and then still have a blast.
Mm. Totally, yeah.
So it's going to be an awesome event. I mean, Dantes has his Instagram page. You wanted to share that?
So Instagram page, if it's at Lift, L-I-F-T, dot Delaware. And you go to that Instagram page, you'll see some pictures that has already been taken from our first event. We had a pop-up suit event. I think we decided to go forth with it a week in advance. And a week later, we had 40 people show up. We had about, what, 5 photographers show up. We had a beautiful golf course at Mulligan's Point. Shout out to Mulligan's Point for the awesome customer
service. Thank you, Michelle.
Hospitality there. I mean, it was just awesome. I mean, guys was outside in 90-degree weather.
I know. I saw
fully suited
pictures.
Golfing.
And people were asking questions.
Yeah. Of course. Well, it's effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. You create something and then people are curious, right?
Absolutely.
So get curious, people. God damn it. Come out, support these things. And I have to cut it a little. Sorry, guys. I have like a busy day, so I have to keep this a little short. But I think we talked for like an hour, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did we talk for an hour? Were you guys listening the whole time? So I want to thank you guys. This movie is so much. You will not go wrong if you watch this movie. It will improve your life.
Yeah.
It will improve your perspective and give some love to this amazing man who did this amazing thing. I'm sure he's still around, I think. You can probably find videos of him somewhere, I bet. Who knows what Joe Clark is up to? What are you doing, Joe? I'm curious. But anyway, thanks for being here, guys. And come back sometime, maybe, and talk about something else.
Definitely.
Tons of movies.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, thanks, everybody. And I will see you next time.